following is a conversation. It has the features of any conversation, such as imperfectly expressed thoughts, ill-considered opinions, and the notions of several sleep-deprived brains. Try not to get your stethoscope in a twist about it.
I'm going to show you a graph and a map, and I want you to try to figure out what this graph and map represents. There's a spike on April 8th.
Okay. I know it. I've seen it.
Don't say it. Don't say.
I have to imagine this is basketball.
Okay, good
Iowa, guess. Caitlin Clark.
Okay, good guess. Okay. It's not basketball. You want to try again? Look at the date.
What happens in the beginning of April? Easter? Uh-huh. Something to do with elections?
No. It concerns ophthalmologists.
Oh, this was the eclipse.
Yeah. Oh. The search term here is my eyes hurt. This is a Google Trends. Graph of interest in my eyes hurt. And where is the map? There's a heat map below that.
Oh my God.
And Iowa is highlighted.
Yep.
We're not even in like the middle of the
path. Yeah, we're not even in the path of totality.
I mean, you guys. Where did we go wrong as a country where we think that it's okay to stare at the sun? I mean,
there was literally a meme about this.
And like a huge public relations, I don't know if public relations is right, but like a huge public health campaign, yes. Warning people, don't look at the sun. Stop that. Don't do that. I met a student this week, an undergrad student, who was like, I didn't know you shouldn't look at the sun. I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, I learned this as a child.
Yeah. Did you ever look at the sun as a kid?
Yes.
Like, stare at the sun and then look at something else so that you could see the outline of the sun?
Yes.
Yes.
And then, you know.
And then at some point, somebody told you, don't look at the damn sun.
Don't stare at the sun.
I was going to say, I'm the son of two optometrists, so that was definitely not going on in our
house. But I definitely have that. That's a core memory is staring at the sun.
Like we'd be on, for some reason, it always seemed to like, it was a road trip thing. Whenever we were in the car, I would I lived in North Dakota. There was nothing to look at except for the sun.
To be fair, I couldn't get glasses and I did take a couple peeks until I found some to borrow. So I can't.
Sahana.
Can relate.
What are you trying to like? Show me a peek.
Like, but then you can't really see, if you look and then you can see like the after image, but you can't really like actually see anything if you look.
Yeah.
The eclipse,
but. Yeah.
I was very fortunate. I actually, my very first day of undergrad here many, many years ago was also an eclipse.
Oh, okay.
And so I actually had, they gave us like the special glasses all the way back then.
Yeah.
And hopefully they don't expire because.
No, they don't.
We were using glasses from 2017 here.
Yeah, that's okay. same
and they were actually better than the ones we had were the 2017 ones were better than the 2024 ones.
Hopefully
they looked better.
Oh, I was going to say, hopefully not counterfeit.
No. Yeah, because there was that too. So there was
counterfeit about it? It's just like black plastic, right?
I don't know. There were improper or counterfeit.
Yeah, there was like stuff like the, I don't know how light works, but essentially, you know, one of them, like the counterfeit ones, the ones that you got on Amazon that like didn't come with the certified thing could still like damage your eyes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Did you guys see, this is not off topic, but did you see the video where like the guy was demonstrating what happens if you look at the sun through a telescope?
Oh, and he shined it in his eye?
Well, he shined it through the glasses and it burned a hole in the glasses.
Oh, shit.
Oh, but they had telescopes set up on the Pentacrest when I went to go see it.
But
and
they're
we were
like,
all like
indirect view. So they're rigged like, to project the image onto a card or something like
that. Okay. Because I did look through them and it was.
You looked through them at the
sun?
Or they had filters on them.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it had a filter on because that thing burned a hole immediately.
Huh. I can't remember what hardware store type place it was that was like, yeah, we're not taking returns on your welding mask that you bought
to look at the sun.
Oh my goodness. Anybody who bought welding masks on the 8th of April was not getting their return back. So
they are collecting the used ones. So if you have used eclipse sunglasses
or keep them until.
I was gonna say, happened.
When's the next one?
2044.
2044.
In the U.S.
That's just, yeah, I was gonna say there's more, but
tuck those away.
Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcoat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Welcome back to the Shortcoat Podcast. This is a show that gives you an inside look at medical school from the students drinking from that fire hose. The production of the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. I'm Dave Etler. With me today in the SCP studio, don't even try to predict her solar flares, it's MD-PhD student Maddie Wallin.
Howdy.
His coronal mass ejections will knock out your satellites. It's M3 Jacob Lamb.
Howdy.
You'd better have a strong magnetosphere if you feel his solar wind. It's M3 Jacob Hansen.
Hey there.
And sun reference for Sahana Arumugam, because I did not have time to make one up for you.
Hi, guys.
What sun reference should I have used? I don't know. She looked at the sun.
I did.
I want to remind you, Shortcoats, that we are always very excited to get messages from you. Maybe requests for advice about medical school, from getting into graduating, and to take suggestions on topics we can bring you in the future. So what do you want to hear? Go to theshortcoat.com/tell us to make this show your show. To make this show your show, because sometimes I run out of ideas and I could really use your help. Thanks so much. I hate to bring up bad news, but Jacob, you especially, you're going to be writing your personal statement soon because you will be applying to residency in the fall. And have you thought about what you want to write about in your personal statement yet?
Not really. I don't really know where to start, and it'll be a blast.
Yeah. It's not. I feel like it's among medical students' least favorite things to write. Their personal statements. I guess I wanted to know, like, if you had a story from med school that you could capitalize on.
I mean, there's definitely been some like memorable patient interactions I think could definitely use as a story, but yeah. I think like just like the medical like application to get into medical school, like figuring out what to actually kind of write about, I think it's a challenge in and of itself to just like, what do I want to convey in this? I don't know what the word limit is for residency.
I don't know what it is either, but let's say it's a page.
Yeah, just figuring
it's a
out.
5-paragraph essay, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's one format. The typical argumentative essay, 5 paragraphs, introduction, three example paragraphs, 1 conclusion paragraph. I don't know what's going on with my fingers. I don't have any further to go with that, but I did want to know if you had anything in particular in mind, because we're just about to start that season of writing personal mm-hmm. statements, and I know it's a huge pain in the ass.
Oh, I'm dreading it. I know.
Give me an example of a story that you've experienced.
Well, there was like one patient while I was on an inpatient service on the gastrointestinal. I took care of her like all week mm-hmm. I was on that service. And then I saw her actually in clinic when she got discharged like a month out mm-hmm. and she was doing so much better. You could see her smile was like much bigger. She just looked so much happier and healthier. And that was one of the few times where I was like, I really made a difference here.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. There you go. That's a story. You gotta string it out a little bit. Yeah. four more paragraphs to write, but you know, I'm down. Well, we'll be helping you out with your personal statements this summer. It'll be fine.
Hopefully. Is that like a whole summer thing?
That's a whole summer long thing. There's this is a big class. There's 173 people officially on the list of people who might graduate.
A lot of personal stuff. There's a lot of personal.
Some of those will, yeah, some of those will disappear. We're trying to carefully manage personal statement season this year. It's usually we're like, yeah, come on, we don't care. You know, come talk to us. And this year we're like, holy crap. Maybe we got to manage this.
Dang. I was actually going to ask you about personal statements after the show.
Oh, were you? Yeah. Whoa, what's your question?
Well, I don't even know where to begin, Dave. Yeah. It's been,
so
with that whole process.
Yeah. I personally am not an expert in personal statements. But I've listened to a lot of personal statement meetings. It's not magic. Yeah. It's just sitting down and starting to think about what it is that you know, what kind of information you want to convey about yourself. What story do you want to tell about yourself?
I feel like part of what is hard about writing personal statements, and like, full disclosure, I haven't even thought about writing my residency personal statement. That's still at least a year away. But it's like, you feel like you can't be honest and like you can't be yourself in a way that it will come across as like mundane and boring or whatever. But I think like that's still,
I think you want to be yourself.
You want to be yourself.
You absolutely do want to be yourself.
Like, for example, I want to go into urology, and I feel like it would not be an authentic statement if I wasn't like, I want to do urology because I've seen the surgeries and they're super cool. Like, yeah, yeah. I want to be involved in that.
Yeah, for sure.
But people are like, eh, that's not a great profound reason to want to do that.
You don't need a profound reason. Yeah,
yeah.
This is like, I think this is a myth of personal statements.
Yeah.
Like, people think they need to have an origin, some sort of origin story. Like, I got bit by a radioactive EMT.
And yes.
Now I want to be a doctor. You know, like, it doesn't have to, not everybody has that.
Yeah. And you don't need that.
You don't need it.
That's not, like, in some ways, trying to find your origin story can be inauthentic,
yeah.
I feel like.
I think it's harder when you have to write about your struggles. Like, if you've had a significant problem during med school that you need to, that you feel like you need to explain away.
Yeah.
Or just explain, you know, that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think most people probably don't have a profound moment that they experience where they're like, oh, the lightning hit me and now I'm, you know, going to be a urologist.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we'll be here for you. There's going to be workshops. There's going to be one-on-one meetings. You'll get a better instruction on personal statements. I didn't have much to talk about today, so I posed a series of questions for you to think about. Sahana, you probably didn't pay attention to the questions.
I didn't see any questions. Yeah. Sorry.
Does everybody have their GroupMe notifications turned on?
I just joined this GroupMe.
Oh, for God's
sake. I have them muted, but like, I still get notified when you mention me by name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. There's a lot of stuff in there.
I have no way to communicate with people anymore. You know, y'all.
Carrier pigeon.
People don't read my emails. I don't see anybody.
I read your emails.
No, I read your email.
I read your moment.
Oh, shut up. I sent an email to the entire world this week that was not only wrong,
fraudulent,
but wronged a person by accident.
It was his Steve Harvey moment, Steve Harvey Miss America moment, or Miss Universe moment.
Yes,
it was embarrassing. I had to send a correction email, and then Dean Cooper emailed me and said, "Hey, there's another correction." I was like, Chris, that's so minor that I can't bear to say it. He was very understanding about it. So, you know, it's fine. But also, like, my ego took a blow. And I said earlier, like, I was feeling so competent this week that I believe I told my daughter, something's coming.
Feel it.
I've been confident for far too long a period. It's coming.
We read your emails.
All right, fine. If you were sworn to secrecy about med school, what would you talk about instead?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Talk about my dog a lot, I feel like.
What have I been doing? I go to a lot of concerts.
Yeah, are you super into music?
Yes.
Okay, what kind of music?
Ooh, all kinds of stuff. Well, everything but country, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
And could you talk about it for hours?
Yeah, a few hours, maybe.
Favorite band?
Ooh. Oh, my God. I'm put on the spot. I've been listening to a lot of Noah Kahan and Hozier lately.
Okay.
I'm going to go see them soon. Cool. So.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Maddie? What would you talk about?
I think I could talk about sports for always.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. A little rude, but okay.
It's a long-standing joke on this show that I don't understand sports.
I wrote a whole essay on this and I published it in the appendix.
You did?
On why I love sports. Oh. But anyway, yeah,
well,
my husband
didn't read
isn't...
your essay like you don't read my emails.
I do read your emails. But anyway, my husband is an athletic trainer for a professional hockey team in Coralville. Uh-huh. And all we talk about is hockey. Like,
called?
All we talk about is hockey.
What are they called?
The Heartlanders.
Yeah. Been to a game or two.
We talk a lot of hockey. We've been talking a lot of basketball recently.
As we should.
Man, Caitlin Clark. I know this is a little late to talk about Caitlin Clark. I guess everybody's been talking about Caitlin Clark.
Got to get our viewer numbers up. So Caitlin Clark, 22.
I know. Like, I really need to jump on these trends a little bit.
You do.
A little bit sooner. But I don't know. I'm lame. They put up two big billboards downtown on the sides of buildings.
So cool.
For Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And that must be so wild. To be like Caitlin Clark and to like the level of adulation and like attention that she gets.
I feel like it cannot be overstated, like how much pressure she was under this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah.
And how she still like kept her composure and played and performed. And like, I can't imagine because she's 22 years old. She's not very old.
Yeah. She's not that old. Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Literally a baller. Yeah. I mean, it's super
literally,
amazing.
That is what she is.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Super amazing.
Well, yeah, it's funny because it was like, hey, the giant posters that you're talking about were like pointed towards like Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Yeah. So there's one for those of you who don't live in Iowa City, there's one poster that shows her taking a shot. And then there's another poster that shows
like a basket,
basket and her and, you know, the ball about to go in, I think. Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think so.
And then they're pointed towards the Carver Hawkeye Arena where
she plays
basketball is played.
And I think the shot is her record breaking shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? I thought they posted it like for the record breaking shot.
No,
maybe?
I'm pretty sure it was the shot that she made.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. I thought it was funny because it was like it's from so far away. Like, you know, at the logo. So it's like all the way from downtown.
Yeah.
It's Caitlin Clark. And where is it? Downtown.
Wow. I didn't even think of that. See, somebody thought this through. Somebody.
Some Nike executive is like.
Yeah.
Big brain that one. Yeah. Yeah.
That's art.
Yeah, for
sure. That's why I like sports.
Okay.
I wonder, when she's like walking around campus and stuff, like, how do they treat student athletes? Like, especially like, I don't know if we've ever had an athlete on her level on our campus. Like,
been a while.
Anyway. I think she talked about this, or one of her teammates talked about it in an athletic article this week. I think it's hard. I think it's very difficult.
I went to undergrad here. There was a couple of like athletes that I had in the class. Most of them just like either sat in the back and just kind of like kept to themselves, or they just like stopped coming. But I did always think it was interesting if there's any like wrestling fans in here. I used to see Spencer Lee all the time, who was like Iowa's Caitlin Clark, but for wrestling.
Okay.
And like, I couldn't, imagine. He just like, I saw him downtown, like walking around between like classes all the time. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, what's going through your mind? Like, how do you interact with like us lay people? I'm just blown away.
Us please.
I think that gets into like a little bit of a slippery slope in that case, because these are college athletes. Yeah. Like,
that's fair.
I think I don't know. I went to a hockey school and there was like a similar kind of thing where like I saw a bunch of the hockey players at a bowling alley and a bunch of people I was with were like, oh my God, like, do you see who's over there? I'm like, he's in my class. Like, I see him every day.
Yeah.
He's just a person.
Yeah.
I think it's different. Caitlin Clark's situation is much different because she has had so much national media attention on her. And it's a little bit different now with like name, image, likeness, that these athletes are being paid for, you know, basically all that they bring to the university and stuff. So like, it is a little bit different and it is almost more like a job, but I think that there's a conversation to be had about like how we treat college athletes as like larger than life people they really are just college
students.
Yeah. It's a little nuts.
It's a little nuts.
She seems pretty cool too.
Yeah. She seems big Caitlin Clark fan over here.
Yeah. Good for you, Caitlin. I know you're listening.
I'm on the show.
All right. Next question. If the word doctor and all its synonyms ceased to exist, what name would you give your chosen profession?
Well, what are the synonyms?
Like healer.
Oh, okay.
Things like that, I'm thinking. Personal question asker.
Oh.
Ooh. I don't want to say fixer.
Manipulator of...
manipulator body of mind.
Body and body mind. And mind. Yeah.
Don't love that.
Yeah.
I was like, people whisper.
Yeah, there you go.
I almost want to say like prior.
I like prior.
Prior?
Yeah.
Like as in prying nosy? Into things yeah. or prior as in the religious.
Oh, I forgot that.
Quasi-religious.
No, like P-R-Y.
Okay. Prior. One who pries.
One who pries.
But for good.
Yeah.
For the forces
yeah,
of good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to pry for the forces of evil. But.
Or neutral.
Or neutral.
All right. Well, that was a fail. what did you learn from Sesame Street or some other kids TV show that might be helping or hurting you in med school?
Don't talk to strangers.
Okay.
That can hurt you in med school. You got to talk to strangers about personal,
oh, I see.
Very
so
personal
taking things. That advice hurts yeah. you. Yeah, I get yeah, it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys have have you guys developed a patter for talking with stranger, a technique for walking into that room and starting a conversation?
Oh, like a little rapport script.
Yeah, like a rapport builder. Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
Not yet.
You just like go in cold and like, so what's up?
I usually like bring back, I'm working with insert attending name mm-hmm. to give you some credibility, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not at all credible, like real credibility, but like, don't worry. A real doctor is going to come in here
yes.
and talk to you.
And also, I'm not just off the street.
Yeah.
I have a reason to be in this room with you.
Yes.
Yeah. I typically say that like I'm a student. So like, hey, like, let's set some expectations. If you have questions, there's a good chance I'm not going to be able to answer them.
Don't lead with that. That's
Well, I mean, like, you know, coming in here, sometimes I know in like certain clinics, like they would have like a list of questions that they're like, hey, let's talk about this. I'm like, whoa. Especially like here at the university, there's some like people that are like super, super like subspecialized. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I've been here for a half a day and that's all I'm going to get. And I don't know all these things.
So would you say like, yeah, let's go through your questions and yeah. then sort of, you know, well, I'll write, you know, I'll. Bring this to the attendings
yeah,
mm-hmm. attention and
we'll go
begin
there.
To talk to you in just a minute.
Totally.
You try to answer them if you can.
I do. I know that it's like, I'm probably going to get like 1 for 3. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in situations where I've seen even residents who were like, who answer the question and then who the attending comes in and the attending says a completely different yeah. thing. And I'm like, all right, either the resident was wrong or they just differ in opinions.
That's like the reverse Uno of when you ask the patient their history and they give you the history.
And then
the attending comes in and they give you an entire different,
entirely
history.
Different history. Yeah, so, you know, stop your bitching. We get it too. And this okay, so this week my daughter got herself a concussion. And we got a whole range of opinions on what we should do during the recovery period, from go into a dark room and don't come out for a week. I mean, that's not exactly how they put it, but that was basically what they were saying. To, you know, what we say these days is give it a shot. Whatever you're going to do, give it a shot and see what happens. If you don't like it, stop doing that. You know, if you don't feel good while you're reading or watching television or scrolling on your phone, stop doing that and wait 24 hours and then try it again. Most people were of the second type. I think the first, you know, stay in a dark room for a week is a little old fashioned. And I learned that the most old fashioned thing is stay awake.
Like you can't go to sleep.
Yeah, don't go to sleep because something,
up, right?
Yeah, you'll never wake up or something horrible will happen.
Yeah.
It's never really specified in the movies and television shows yeah. that I've gotten this advice from what will happen. Yeah. They're like, stay with me. it's never really specified what the danger is there. But yeah, they're like, yeah, we don't do that anymore because, yeah, we used to do that because we didn't have the monitoring capabilities that we have now. And so if you did go to sleep, we didn't know what was happening. But now they're like, yeah, take a nap. It's fine. So I thought that was weird. It never occurred to me why that would be the advice.
One question, Dave, yeah. that I could answer is I had a kid come into clinic with, he had a number of concussions. I think he was up to like 5 or 6. And his mom was very worried. And he was just like, "Mom, I think it's fine. At the end of the day, we can always get a brain transplant."
Yes.
What?
Brilliant.
I was glad I could do that. Well, so we, no.
Yeah. Let's talk. I remember discussing this on the show in the distant past. There was an Italian scientist who was trying to get permission to do brain transplants or something like that. And I'm like, media, stop calling it a brain transplant. I don't believe that you should call it that because the brain is who you are, right? It's a body transplant.
That opens, it opens an entire philosophical question. I would love to talk to Dr. Sipple about this over beers or something.
Oh, yeah, right? Would totally
very philosophical.
A whole bunch of trippy shit.
Who are you with a different brain? It is a body transplant. Yeah. What if you just got someone else's brain? You are no longer.
Whoa. So there you go. I was surprised at the number of medical people I met this weekend who confessed to having multiple concussions.
It's not like a dirty secret.
Well, it's not like an STD, but I mean, I guess the point I'm trying to say is like, take care of yourselves, people.
What do you mean? How are they getting the concussion?
One of the EMTs was like, I didn't, go into detail, but one of the EMTs was like, I've had 4 concussions. And I'm like, dude, wear a helmet. Like, whatever you're doing it wrong. I've had 1 concussion myself. That's my limit. I feel like 1 is good.
Same. But, like, you can't always control when you're going to get a concussion.
Yeah.
What if they've been in 4 car accidents?
Become a better driver.
They're incredibly unlucky.
Poor driver.
No. Yeah, bad driver, unlucky, should probably stay home. Wrap yourself in bubble wrap, dude.
I've also only ever had 1.
Yeah.
When I was like really little, I fell down the stairs when I was like 4.
Sure.
Fucking happened.
Yeah, sure.
It happened.
I got hit by a car.
See, I can think of this EMT's 4 concussions. I can list them off. I mean, not the specific EMT.
That's a coincidence.
They fell down the stairs when they were 4.
Yep.
They got hit by a car on their bike.
Yep.
They fell off a ski lift and got hit in the head with the ski lift.
Ooh. Okay.
At some point. And they were at a hockey game and got nailed in the noggin by a puck.
Maddie and I saw this happen like a month, not even a month ago. This little kid got egged right in the forehead with a puck. And it was bad. Blood everywhere. Scream. It was kind of horrific.
It was
like
bad.
A really little kid, like 5 or something.
It was not a great moment for that child.
Usually there's so much protection in the rink that it's hard to imagine that it could go through the glass. And
well, really, there's only nets like on the way
on
end.
The goal,
yeah,
like there's not nets around the entire rink.
Yeah,
so it can happen.
That sucks.
So that's 4 concussions that you have no control over.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I'm just an indoorsy type, but it's just that 1 concussion. And then, and after that, I stopped riding a bike.
Well,
and I never got another concussion. So, stop doing what you're doing. You get 1.
Would you call yourself risk averse?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would.
That story tells me that you might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't stop riding because of the concussion. It just so happens that I got a car at some point after that.
Then your story was misleading.
And no longer.
Because you said, I got 1 concussion and then I never rode a bike again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We were missing data there.
I think the
there.
Point I was the trying co-founder. To make was that I just, didn't find myself in that position ever again.
Good.
I'm sorry.
I'm not pro-concussion. I'm not working for big concussion here, but concussions... bad. Try to avoid them if you can.
Yeah, one of the residents was also like, oh yeah, I've had multiple concussions and it sucks. Just trying to,
Like athletes, they this resident could have been an athlete.
Yeah.
The probably was. They have multiple concussions.
The school has a whole protocol on concussions. Like it's a very well defined set of steps that they you know, like you have, when you go into school, you have to report to the school nurse and mm-hmm. you have to take their survey, and which I think, actually, this is my one objection to it. I think they should take the survey at the end of the day, not at the beginning of the day, because at the beginning of the day, you're fresh, you're cool. It's at the end of the day when you might be having symptoms after, you know, reading and looking at screens all day sure. and doing the sports and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's a well-defined protocol, which is concerning to me that they feel like they need this. But I guess they do, because you know, you got football, you got lacrosse, you got like soccer, you got all these situations where kids are putting their noggins at risk. This is another reason why I don't like sports, because I feel like it's a little dangerous.
Yeah. but it builds resiliency, teamwork.
CTE.
Not high school sports.
I think there's a little CTE in high school sports, isn't there?
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. I mean, the only data we have on CTE comes from like retired NFL and NHL players.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I wish Dr. Sipple was here to talk to us about this.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not advocating for concussions. It's a big hot take that I ride for concussions. I do not.
Do you, getting back to the question, don't talk to strangers or talk to strangers. Do you walk into the room and ask them about the traffic or the weather or the parking?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
That like, feels so Iowa to me, because that's like what they told us to talk about when they taught us about rapport building.
Yeah.
That's the example they always give is like, oh, were you able to park all right? I'm like, what?
Well, like, I feel like here a good thing, an easy rapport builder is like, where are you coming from? Because a lot of people are not sure. coming from Iowa City.
Yes.
And so you can kind of talk about that. You hit a wall real quickly when they start to talk to you about like specific Iowa geography and you're not from Iowa.
Yeah.
So you run out of stuff to talk about. Like, I'm from this place. I'm like, okay. So tell me about.
Great story. What's it like there?
Yeah.
I've only got 15 minutes.
I thought of another thing that yeah. I learned from like Sesame Street okay. that I think helps is to like treat everybody with respect.
Okay.
I think that will help you in medical school.
Yeah, even when you don't agree with them.
Yeah.
What was your favorite meme or website or video in high school?
Vine.
Yeah.
There's so many good vines.
What happened to Vine?
It just fell through.
It just died.
Yeah. It turned. Did it turn into something else?
No, it just died. Like the website, or not the website, the app. Like
mm-hmm. I think they stopped funding it or something. Yeah. And just stopped.
It was so big though.
It was. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to see some of the Vine,
the old Vine
people too. Like yeah. continue on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know the like I smell like beef girl.
Yes.
She's on TikTok.
Incredible.
She's so funny.
What's her name?
Ava.
Yeah. She's an incredible... I wish I was as funny as she is.
She's hilarious. And she has like this natural like transatlantic accent. She's exactly like she was when she was a baby, yeah. smelling like beef. She's very funny.
I smell like beef.
Yeah. So that's fun. It was Big Vine. Big Vine kid.
Big Vine kid. The only Vine I can think of off the top of my head is where like that British girl is like, beep, beep, I'm in me mom's car. And then she's like, get out me car. That's literally the only Vine I can think of. Do you know what
I'm talking about? I like the little, I don't know why that made me think of like the little kid that's like, ah, that hurt like a butt cheek on a stick.
I don't remember these at all.
That was legitness.
All I had in back in the day was Usenet. You guys know what Usenet is?
No.
This is back before there was a web. It was called Usenet, and it was basically like Reddit.
Okay.
From the old days.
Like a Yahoo forums group situation. Yeah.
But it was like, you know, it was the only thing. Like there weren't many different kinds of Usenets. There was just Usenet.
Sure. Okay.
And within them, there were within Usenet, there were forums. I used to read a lot of Usenet fan fiction.
Huh. What kind of fan fiction?
Yeah. Oh, sci-fi, completely.
Okay.
Nothing juicy. It's not like, and there were probably like, you know, versions, or there's probably plenty of fanfic where they were like shipping people and, you know.
Yeah. Like, you were not like a shipper?
Inappropriately. No, that's not what I was into. I just like the
alt endings.
Alt endings and things like okay. that. Yeah. Like Star Trek and.
That kind of reminds me. I also think I first saw this video when I was in high school. And it also reminds me that I wish that you would bring this segment back, the Yahoo Answers thing.
Oh, I wish we could.
I wish we could too. But anyway, the Pregannon Ant video. Yeah. The pre-Gant video.
That's such a good one.
I
love
that. So my dad's name is Greg, and I always laugh because one of them is like, am I Gregnant?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, got me every time.
That was a real good one.
That's a good one.
Flash
the Luigi board.
The wall, yes.
Flash video websites were also...
Well, that sounds so vaguely familiar.
So before YouTube and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. the only way that you could do video on the web was Adobe Flash.
Okay.
RIP.
And a lot of it was, yeah, and a lot of it was animated stuff. And there was one particular website. I've tried to find it since. And the only thing I can do to search for it is search is by using some dialogue from one of the videos, and it goes, plastic bags, electrical sockets. That's all I got. That's all I got. So either it doesn't exist or my search terms are not specific enough, but I can't find it.
That's funny. This is more like middle school era. Did you guys ever play Mini Clips?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Those games were fun. I don't think you can believe that anymore.
They're just games, actually. Okay. Most of them. Neopets.
I think there was like drama with the Neopets.
Really?
Yeah.
Among friends.
No.
Like in the worldwide web.
Neopet community. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like it involved. I want to say like rare Neopets and like the Neopets currency. I don't know.
People get a little crazy about their interests.
Their virtual pets, yeah.
I like, there's a TikTok account that I follow that's like niche drama. And she like posts niche drama, like niche Whoa. Community drama. And one of my favorite episodes that she posted about, or situations that she posted about. Anyway, I say this because the Neopets drama would definitely be something that she would like talk about.
Sure, yeah.
But she was talking about in the bird watching community, there was like a major fraud that happened in the bird watching community. This is relevant actually because the fraudster is an MD PhD.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And essentially, like in my synthesis of this information that I saw on TikTok once, there was this guy who's been like birding for years and years and years. And he was going to be like the first person to, I think it was like 10,000 species of bird or something like that. And he was like, you know, 20 birds away or something, and he had this trip planned to a different continent to go see these last like 10 birds. And then this other birder comes on the scene, this MD PhD guy who comes on the scene out of nowhere, and he's just like got this list of like the 9,000 birds that he's seen, and he's like almost to 10,000 birds, and he gets to 10,000 birds like before this other guy gets to 10,000 birds. And the birders were like, you are a fraud. Like, this is list fake. Is not real. And they were, like, going into his birding list to, like, prove that it couldn't be real.
Uh-huh.
I asked Jaden Bowen about it because he is a birder. And I was like, I need to get your take on this. And he agreed. He was like, that guy is a fraud. There's no way that he's seen 10,000 birds. It's very
It seems like an easily falsifiable
Yeah, like
situation.
How do
they're like also, going through his list, and
are
they're
we talking
like,
about like, are we talking about like species? Or
yeah,
are we
yeah,
okay.
like you cite 9,000 different species.
I
it was like
know
they were
how many birds?
They were combing through his birds list of birds, and they're like, oh, you said you saw this bird on this day, and then this bird on this day, but they don't live in the same like climate, so you couldn't have possibly seen these two birds at this time.
You fool. Next time, do your homework.
So then eventually the way that this this drama, this niche drama resolved is that the fraud ceded like the the achievement back to this like legend of the birder community. I can't remember his name.
Loses his birding license.
There, yeah, no. But he's essentially like, you are a great birder. There seems to be some problems with my list, but I've seen a lot of birds.
Okay.
So if you're into niche drama like that, I suggest
looking
at it. That
actually sounds fascinating.
Yeah. It's so fun. And you learn about all of these communities that you don't even know are like things that you could possibly join.
I'm interested in nothing so much. I'm interested in nothing so much that I am involved in a community.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's really sad, Dave.
I know. I know it is. I'm confronted with this problem every day.
Your third space. Is that what they're called?
I think space? So.
Okay.
I just, you know, like if you asked me, like, what would I talk about if it weren't for my family or my job? I'm like, yeah, what would I talk about? I'm boring.
I think that's been my favorite part about grad school. Is that I have had the opportunity to actually get hobbies and like join communities and learn new things and talk about things that aren't medicine.
Come see me when you're
I feel 50. Like I have a ton of hobbies now that I didn't have before.
What are sports, niche?
Like, I run now. I do junk journaling.
Junk journaling?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix of journaling and scrapbooking.
Okay.
All right. What else do I do? I crochet. I recently started learning how to make paper so that I can make my own journals.
That's really cool.
So like, I don't know. And I found all of these communities like on TikTok and I now like follow them all to kind of like keep up and learn new things.
My hobby is actually TikTok and not a great hobby. It's not very active. speaking of frauds, did you read about... this doctor in Texas, I think it is, who's been manipulating...
The IV bags?
No, he's been manipulating the transplant list.
Oh.
So, like, for his patients, he's been manipulating their entries to keep them from getting transplants.
Oh.
Oh.
So, for instance...
That's the opposite of what I thought.
Yeah, likewise.
The opposite of what I thought, too, at first.
So for evil.
For evil.
Okay.
I guess. I mean, maybe he thinks he's not being evil, but basically he would be like, you know, if a patient needed a liver,
mm-hmm.
and this guy was in charge of the, I think it was some place in Texas, some big university in Texas in their transplant program. So if he didn't want somebody to get a liver, he would set them up in the system as like I need a 3,000, I need a 300 pound toddler. Like literally, so that no results would ever be found.
A 300-pound toddler. Okay.
Like, yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, it was in the New York Times.
So he can just keep treating, I'm assuming.
Like, why would he not want his own patients?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Nobody knows yet.
It's really messed up.
Nobody even knows if this is, I mean, I guess it's not like this person, you know, it's all alleged at this point. But they went back and, you know, after somebody got a complaint, the Department of Health and what was it? HHS, what is Health and Human Services?
Yeah.
Like went back and looked and was like, hey, wait a minute. There's a lot of weird entries in here, you know, for livers that he's seeking.
That can't exist. Yeah. So they would never get them. Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah. And I don't like that.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Another horrible fraud imagine story. Being on that list. Imagine the person on that list and you're like, okay, now I'm waiting for my liver.
Doo-doo-doo.
And you're never going to get it. Like people apparently died while waiting. He's been doing it for years, I guess. So.
Yeah, that was not the way that I thought that story was going to go.
No, I thought it would be like, oh, manipulating I'm gonna get my patients, to get liver.
Which still would be wrong and unethical.
Yes. But yes, absolutely.
But would make more sense.
Yeah,
this doesn't make any sense.
I know, I always try to figure out like, okay, this sucks, but why did they do it?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I want to know.
I can't think of like a rational reason.
The only reason is like, they don't like this person.
Right.
They don't want this person to live.
Maybe they make more, I don't know, they can chart it differently or more expensive codes or medication. I don't know. Just seems very off-putting.
Very interested in following this story.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Imagine you're 53 years old.
Wait, before we move on.
Yes.
Are we allowed to talk about the fraud that recently occurred in our very own, inside the walls of our very own hospital?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is a crazy, go ahead.
It's a crazy story. So there was apparently this guy who worked remotely for UIHC
as
an IT guy.
Okay.
And recently it was found that he had stolen this like homeless person's identity like 20 or 30 years ago. And he'd just been like operating under this man's stolen identity for years and years and years. And this other, like the guy whose identity he stole had been trying to like raise attention to this for a while now.
And the guy didn't know, you know, he didn't know who had stolen.
Yeah, he didn't know who had stolen his identity. But apparently he like went to a bank in California and was like, somebody has stolen my identity and is, you know, like.
So they don't even live in.
No, he lived in like Wisconsin.
Okay.
And the bank called the guy who stole his identity and was like, we have this guy here in California who's like saying that his identity has been stolen. And then the other guy, the actual identity thief, was like, oh no, like nobody in California should have access to this bank account. And so they got the police called on the real guy.
Oh my
gosh. They called the police on the real guy and he got arrested. Or something.
He went to prison
and then he went to a mental institution because he was like
insisting he's somebody that
someone had stolen his identity.
That's so sad.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't like
this
that.
Is a 30 year old
jeez
this is a 30 so this, year long
this happened
ordeal.
30 years ago
the no this just happened
30 they, years?
Oh the bank thing.
Yeah,
I don't know when that happened but
eventually he figured out
where he worked.
Where this person worked and called the UI.
Yeah, called the UI. Actually, big shout out to the detective, the University of Iowa detective.
Ian Mallory.
Ian Mallory was like,
followed up
on this, got as far as like paternity testing, like found this dude's biological father and did like literal DNA testing to prove that this fraud man was not the son of this guy. So the University of Iowa police figured this out.
I feel like it's great to talk about this because I feel like...
What?
Yeah.
that's a situation where I'm like, why? Why did he do that?
It's unknown. They worked together at a hot dog stand.
In New Mexico.
Years ago.
In like another state.
What?
It was New Mexico.
And that's when he stole his ID and started using it.
What was wrong with his own identity?
Oh God, who even?
He had stolen a car. I know that.
Oh,
he had stolen a car, but like as a minor. So I don't know. Like that was one of the things where I read this whole article and I was like, that's a crazy story, but why did he do this?
Thanks a lot, Dave. I have to be productive this afternoon. This is going to be like weighing on my mind. Like what happened with?
I didn't bring it up. You got two. Yeah. You've got two things to look up today.
So I don't know if that can stay in the final cut, but it's an interesting thing.
I feel like it can because we are a victim here. Like, we are also
Dave Antler is personally.
we here at the university were a victim of this person's nefariousness. We didn't cause it. We didn't. We didn't.
And it was nefarious, and I think it's probably national news.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy talk.
Like, it's crazy. It's a crazy story. Jeez. So.
Imagine you're 53 years old, and you're telling your kids about a thing that exists or doesn't exist, either one, today. As in, like, well, back in my day, we, you know, had to go to the wall to talk to somebody on a phone.
Oh.
What do you think that thing will be that crazy thing will be?
It's not crazy, but like maybe flash drives, thumb drives. Will
oh, sure. Sure. Yeah.
But I always need them all the time.
Yeah. Back in my day, we had to like take a little stick.
Exactly.
And put it into a thing that existed on our desk and then walk it
and
across the
room. A lot
of
time it was full and I had to make space on it. I did decide what I wanted to get rid of in the 2 minutes before I gave my presentation.
Yeah. Now we just tell the AI that lives in our house that we want that file and it's just there.
Probably like phones. Cell phones as they are right now.
I think cell phones are going to go away.
Because when you look at cell phones, even as they've evolved since I've been a teenager, it's like Yeah, I used to press the two button three times to type a C. Okay.
Yes, I was telling my daughter yeah. about this the other day, the T9 text
yeah.
texting that we used to have yeah. to do. She's like, what are you even talking about?
So I feel like cell phones funny. As we are using them right now will be our kid mm-hmm. or, you know, our grandkids will be like, what?
It's going to be implanted or wearable.
Something like that.
They're going to be wearable.
Yeah.
I feel like the wired headphones.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like we're using them right now. But like, I don't know the last time I've like bought a pair, used it. Like half of the devices, you can't even use mm-hmm. it anymore.
I know, like, because mm-hmm. my iPhone doesn't have a headphone.
It doesn't have a jack anymore, yeah. yeah.
I don't know. I don't. I have had many pairs of wireless headphones, and they have major shortcomings for me. Either they don't fit into my ears, I lose them, or they're not charged when I want to use them.
That's the biggest thing,
I think. Not charging is not the charged. Worst part, yeah. I think. Or if it's like, you're just like really in the zone for like more than like 2 hours, yeah. it'll die.
Yeah. I don't know.
A downfall of wired headphones. This happened to me when I was a freshman in high school. I was working on basically a diorama project. And I was like cutting something and I'm cutting. All of a sudden my music stops.
No!
And I'm like, what the hell? Look down. I had cut the wire of my headphone. That's never happened to me since I started wearing AirPods.
What kind of diorama? What was it a diorama of?
Oh God. It was
I don't know
like,
why I want to know this.
It was like medieval. It was like a medieval village nice. Is what I had to build.
I have made many a diorama. Maybe that's something that's going to go away.
I think dioramas have gone away.
Anything on
paper.
When
was the last time you made a diorama?
Well, definitely would have been like high school if not before, yeah. but I don't know. I'm not still there.
Well, I can think of something that I hope when I'm 53 we have that we don't have now is male birth control.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll have to tell people, 20, 30 years ago,
male birth control
did you know?
Pill. Or something
I don't
similar.
Care what it, yeah, something like
control,
that. But. Yeah, 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 like a pill or yeah. something.
Non-surgical yeah. option.
A non-surgical yeah. option, yes.
You think that'll happen? Why? It's been so long. You think it would be not that hard?
I think answer is misogyny.
Is it the patriarchy?
Yeah. yeah.
Wasn't there like, I don't know, I might just be like pulling this out of my butt, but like they had some sort of pill that kind of worked, but like the side effects were like,
erectile dysfunction?
No, they were just like, I have like mood issues.
Yeah, was there
or like tenderness and stuff. And they're like, this sucks. How can I live like this? And it's like, oh my God.
implantable male.
Yeah.
Birth control. Would yeah. be. I'm trying to think of any of other things that you guys might.
Might be obsolete.
Gasoline.
I feel like cars as they are right now, I hope will be different.
I don't know, but I like online, you just, they're the people like fighting for gas cars and like.
But why?
Well, there's going to be, okay, so there's probably always going to be like enthusiasts, like people yeah. who, you know, keep.
Their old cars and stuff.
I don't know, like a Ford Taurus in their, yeah. in their garage because they love it so much. Right? But yeah, like I could see. I'm not ready to buy an electric car. They don't interest me. I mean, they interest me, but it just doesn't exist in a way that I am ready to buy them yet.
So it's you. It's going to be you with your Ford Taurus in your garage.
No, I will buy it immediately when some things are taken care of.
Yeah.
Like when it's not.
Dave driving around town in a Cybertruck and you're just like, what?
The Cybertrucks are crazy.
That is one thing that I've just been love like watch, like following online. It's just like these ridiculous, like impractical, like just dumb.
Have you seen anyone in a Cybertruck? I've never.
That's more niche drama.
That, yeah.
What's a
Cybertruck? Oh, it's like a Tesla
version of a all-terrain
yes,
vehicle.
Yes, I do know
and they like keep getting does. Stuck on like yeah. beaches.
Or just like wherever you'll drive it for like 20 miles and it'll just like stop working. You're like, well, guess I'm here now. Like, and then it's like, and they weigh like a ton.
Version
or
one.
Like,
it's a version one yeah. product.
They don't have the automatic like stop thing when you put your trunk
yeah.
down.
Oh yeah,
they your hatch
people
down.
Put like vegetables in.
Yeah, just, people
like,
are putting slices vegetables right in there.
Just, like, slicing them.
Oh, it'll just like yeah. slice it like
so
a full
like,
carrot.
So if your arm is in there or something,
it's not stopping.
No, it's not stopping.
What?
Yeah, it's like a ridiculous.
It's fun.
Just abomination of a vehicle.
Somebody got stuck in their Tesla this week. I think it was a Tesla. Got stuck.
They're kind of hard to get out of sometimes.
Well, the little right. Well, thing. Apparently Tesla. You know, there was an update that needed to happen on their software, which also not a thing that I have had to experience yet. But there was an update that was needed for their software, and Tesla says your doors and windows will not operate during the update.
Oh my god!
So she's like stuck in her car for 40 minutes. It got to 115 degrees.
Oh my god!
They do have some safeguards. Apparently, like if your dog is in the car, it won't update. If situations, because you could put your car in dog mode.
Oh, okay. But
so that it'll keep the air circulating or something. I'm not really sure.
That's pretty sweet.
So if your car is in dog mode, then it won't update.
But there's no people.
But there's
mode.
No like. Yes.
I'm hearing the dog is more important than the life of the driver.
In fact, the article I read was just before this. We started recording. The article I read was like, Tesla warns you not to open your doors or windows because it might like damage your car during the update. And I'm like, this seems very poorly thought out.
Do you have to other be companies, in the car to update?
I would hope
yeah,
not.
You gotta.
Wait, you just have to sit there for 40 minutes and just
so
like.
Well, other cars.
Watch a movie.
Other similar cars apparently will give you a countdown like get out
like,
of your
get out the car
get
now.
Out of your car okay. And then we'll start the update.
Yeah, with
not this car.
Oh my goodness!
So. Fascinating.
I think we've got a few things to work through before I'm ready to the thing about new technology in my family is that I like new technology. I really do. But I also have to get wife approval because Christine has a very low tolerance for things that are stupid.
Okay.
She's a very smart person. She's a very, very smart person. And so when she encounters something that's dumb, that's not well made or, you know, that operates in a strange way, she will just get pissed off at it. Like, whereas I'm like, oh, this is still cool. Like, yeah, I don't, you know, like my smart home, if I had one, you know, if you turn off the light switch, you can now no longer use Alexa to turn on your lights, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's stupid.
It is dumb.
I'm willing to tolerate it because it's still cool to say, hey, Alexa, turn on my lights. But Christine would absolutely, completely reject that proposition. And I think she's right.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's right.
Yeah. So we used to have smart home stuff, and I did not reinstall it when we got a new house. Like, this stuff is stupid.
It's not smart.
You got to be late to the trends for those reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've become less and less an early adopter of stuff like that.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
What do you imagine you'll be doing for work at my age? Will you still be in medicine?
Hopefully nothing. Retired. Just kidding.
Hey. Hey. Well, okay. Early retirement. Hopefully you mean early retirement.
Yeah, yeah.
What will you be?
A urologist.
Yeah, but what will you... Will you be something like beyond just practicing urology? Like, you know, will you be a dean? Will you be, you know... something in addition to that.
Sure. No.
Okay.
Not interested in like adding a bunch of extra responsibilities.
Okay.
I'm already doing two jobs. No, I won't be. I won't be a dean.
Well, I think just like time constraint wise, you can't do 100% of each thing because you only have so many hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that makes you worse at either. I think it just means you have a different role.
Different demands on your time.
You just have a different job.
I got news for you. Anybody who says that, I got news for you. We're all doing multiple things every day and probably not. Like if I could focus on podcasting, I feel like we'd have a zillion listeners. We'd be rolling in money. I've been doing it for 13 years. I ought to know what I'm doing by now, but I don't have time. Right? I got other shit to do in my job. I feel like that's a common problem that people have, you know, like even if you're a doctor, like the paperwork aspect of it means that you're limited
in
what you can, in what you can accomplish.
No, I've talked with my Maddie about like being in like different facets growing up.
Or Maddie
like,
Fitzhugh, also an M3.
Also an M3. Yeah. You know her?
I do.
Okay. Really?
We've met.
Oh, good stuff, Dave. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we've like kind of talked about that. Just like trying something new, or like, just like trying to figure out like what our passions are. So like, I really like education and things in that nature. So I think it might be kind of fun opening up a new page in like my life's book, mm-hmm. when it comes to like a, you know, further down the line, and maybe trying out something different, like being a dean or whatever that case might be.
Yeah. Okay. Course, future course director, possibly.
Possibly. Who's to say?
MOHD.
Maybe not that one.
Who's to say which one? Which
one? You're more of a mass girly.
A mass girly. I did like that. I've been teaching a lot of CBL over here. It's a lot of fun.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They've had a lot of people falling through, so.
What about you, Jacob?
Oh.
Jacob's like, I just want to get through this.
I was gonna say, we gotta get into residency.
I still like to tell people, what do you want to be? I want to be a doctor.
Yeah,
but
that too.
Probably be a doctor. Maybe find a girlfriend or wife in 30 Aww. Years. By 30 years Aww, from
that's
now,
that's so wholesome. That is very wholesome. In you.
Well, I have a lot of money. Hope so.
He's got a plan. He's a man with a plan.
I want to have a hobby room, a craft room.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a she shed area.
Okay.
She shed.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
I think we should bring it back.
I think we should bring it back too. I would like one.
Yeah. I'm really glad a lot of the attendings that I've seen, it does seem like they do have hobbies.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm really glad that like, actually Dave, you kind of inspired me to like get back into some of the things with like the art show.
Oh.
And so just like, I want to like, it would be nice to like, when you're done. And then, yeah, finding other things to like fill up your time. So like for me, that's like a lot of like taking pictures and like making videos. So I'm like, was really glad that like the art show came up and I got to work on some of that stuff. And then like we have Frolics next week. And so I've been like kind of also dealing with that a little bit.
I do think it's important. I'm, you know, despite the fact that I am a lame-o who is not currently engaged in hobbies and can't imagine what
I feel hobby like you don't want. Give yourself enough credit, Dave. Yeah. I feel like
that's a common.
Yeah. But like, I know that this feels, it is a job. It'd be like you turned it into your job.
Oh, yeah. Like I am so lucky in my position because I have been allowed to do things that I think other people would have said, why?
Yeah, and that comes out of hobbies.
Yeah.
Someone with no hobbies would not be doing this.
Okay.
I would echo that, yeah.
Okay.
So, give yourself more credit, Dave.
Hind Al-Khalani had to do an intervention on me a couple shows back because I was disparaging my mental capacities on the show. She was like,
Don't disparage yourself, Dave. We need to work on your confidence.
Oh, I'm just too... What's the word I'm looking for? I'm too I'm too self-deprecating.
Yes. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So, on that note, that's our show. Maddie, Jacob, Sahana, thanks for hanging out with me today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking
us
back.
Thanks for having us.
What kind of bonehead would I be if I didn't thank you, Shortcoats, for making us a part of your week? If you're new and you like what you heard today, I don't know what to call what we did today.
Shooting the shit?
Yeah, we're just shooting the shit, baby. We're just having a little gathering.
Fun, yeah.
Then follow the show wherever fine podcasts are available. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube. Shows made possible by a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine student government and ongoing support from the Writing and Humanities program. Our music is by Dr. Vox and Catmosphere. I'm Dave Etler saying, don't let the bastards get you down. Talk to you 1 week. Stop being so self-deprecating.
Don't be the bastard letting yourself down.
Yeah.
Hi, Shortcoats. Look, life in medical education, life in America, life in the world is often difficult, and I often wish I could help. All I have is this podcast, but in my wildest dreams, you have the support you need to lead a life of your choosing. You deserve to be happy, healthy, and successful in whatever ways you define those words. So if you need support because you've experienced racism, discrimination, harassment, mental health crises, I want you to be able to get the help that you need. And so I'm going to put some links in the show notes to some resources that you can use But the bottom line is that, for what it's worth, I see you. I know you're out there. I wish I could do more. Maybe I can, in ways that I don't understand yet or know about. But I see you, and I'm glad you're here, and other people are too.
The Short Code Podcast is a proud member of the MedEd Media Network. Inspiration, information, and guidance on your journey to medical school and beyond at mededmedia.com.